Bring us into church this morning.
But, oh, need a water?
Wow, I mean, these are good. Can I ask if you'll stand with us one time as we pray together as we do each and every Sunday at our church? We invite the angels to be in our presence and fly around the church, keep them in hedge of protection. We invite God into his house. We invite him in. We ask him to enter these doors. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever and ever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Be seated, everybody, and enjoy the church, because Jesus gave us all that we have. Let me say that again. Jesus gave us all that we have. We're going to do the last week of Advent, and if anybody remembers, the word Advent simply is Latin for the word coming. Jesus, we were preparing for the birth of Jesus, and asking Deacon Marilyn and Deacon Chuck if you'll come up and do the Advent, the last candle to be lit. And I think Mary's going to read, Joseph going to read, or just Mary? Mary's going to read. Morning, Miss Mary. Mr. We have a Joseph and Mary in our church. Safe and sound. She likes the Cowboys and he likes the Giants. That just doesn't seem... But they both like the Yankees. Marilyn, they got it? They need a microphone, Deacon Jim, if you would.
Thank you.
in preparation for Jesus to be born, the Advent.
Is it on already?
Yes.
Okay. The scripture reading today is from Luke 2, verses 10 through 14. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold..." Wrong thing?
Go ahead.
Oh, that comes next, I thought.
Yeah.
Okay. "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." They're all lit. Okay, all the candles are lit. Today we relight the candles of expectation and hope, recalling God's promise, the candle of preparation, remembering the voice crying in the wilderness, urging the people to prepare the way of the coming Lord, and the candle of proclamation, reminding us of the joy found in Him. Now we light the candle of revelation and peace. We celebrate the announcement of the coming King and the greatness of God's love revealed through the Christ child. And the prayer, if you'd all join in. Father, we thank you for revealing yourself through Jesus, and we praise you for the greatness of your love. Help us to share your peace with others and live our lives more like Christ every day. In his name we pray, amen.
Amen and amen.
And amen.
Can we give Mary and Joseph some praise this morning for... If anybody knows anything about speaking in public, it's never the easiest thing to do, and you feel uncomfortable, and everybody's eyes are upon you. So it's wonderful that the church partake in that. I think Maryland was the best idea of all, having the church partake in that and sharing it with one another. And next year at the Advent, if you want to volunteer, Maryland's ready to take volunteers. So thank you for praising. Now this is the responsive reading. This is where I read, and then you respond with joy and peace and volume in your voice. Let's give God praise, church. Let's get everybody woke up this morning. I tell you, God hears you. He hears everything, but he hears the praises. The angels praise him, and he doesn't need our praise. So when he hears it, the whole angels in heaven rejoices. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. To be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Hallelujah. And who was that baby? And what does Jesus mean to us, besides everything? Every hope that you have, every dream that you have, everybody knows that this isn't all there is. And we all know that sooner or later we're going to see the next horizon. And the whole hope and our faith and everything that we have is on Jesus and his promise to be with all those that have passed before us together, reunited with our loved ones again. Isn't that the greatest gift he could give us? A gift of life after life? Because that's what Jesus came for. And we're celebrating his birth today as a church, but we're celebrating what he did for us in his life. Because of what he did, we have this. Can we give God praise? Just thank him this morning. Yes, everybody. I would like to give you a Christmas gift this morning, and you also give me one back. And I think the best way we can do it is to continue what we're doing. Amen. Yes. to continue what we're building here at Second Congregational. I came on the floor today because I want to be near you. I want to be with you. I know that my wife and I are so blessed to sing at nursing homes, and it's a blessing to sing for people who have nothing left. One lady described it the other day as the waiting room to go see God. That's what she said. And it made our heart just happy to be there singing with them. And we have one more Sunday that we have to do Christmas songs. So I said, let me come down and just be with you here this morning and talk about the church and talk about the Spirit. Talk about the what? The Spirit. Because there's the spiritual and the natural. So if we can give each other this gift and what I'm trying to share with you this morning, I believe it'll make you understand what this church is all about, make you understand what you're doing by coming to this church and by who God wants you to be. Flo, that was wonderful singing. Everybody knows that there's the natural, which is the senses, your feelings, everything that you feel. That's called the natural. Then there's the spiritual, which is the truth in God. You see, with God, there's the spiritual truth. You want to be with God, you got to be in spirit. You want to listen to God, you got to be in spirit. You can't be in that natural mind, that mind where you're thinking about where you're going to go shopping and what you're going to have for supper and who's coming over. See, that's the natural. You see, God can't fit in there. So you got to have that spiritual mind also. The natural is our will. Anybody ever heard of your will? What you want to do, the way you want to do it. That's you. And there's another way, the spiritual, to be blessed by God. How many want to be blessed by God? Truly want to be. I do. Every day I do. The natural, what we want. Everybody's easy to say what we want. Whatever it is you're thinking about, what we want, you see. But the spiritual, are you ready? It's what God wants for us. Remember what I said before? I don't want God to be on my team. I want to be on God's team. See, that's a big difference. See, that one little word makes a difference to me. I don't want God to be. I want to be on God's team. And the only way to be on God's team as a church is for all of us to be spiritually minded, to understand the meaning of the person sitting to your left and to your right, Art Smith there, the people sitting behind him, how important they are to him, how important John is to all of us. And the same with Greg, how we're all connected. When you come to church, you should be connected with that light coming from the ceiling, from God. Amen? And it takes faith. What does it take? Faith. To stand, to believe, to trust God with what we have. Now I'm going to read. I didn't send Marilyn any scriptures on purpose this week. I have two. Two only I want to share. And one is Romans 8:8. Listen to this. One little scripture. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. When you're in the flesh, you cannot please God. Does that make you a little bit nervous to think one of the times you're in the flesh or in the spirit? Romans 8:8. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. I don't know about you, but I want to please God. I want to please God so much that God blesses me. Remember when I read from Job? Anybody remember that God was bragging on Job? He was bragging to Satan about it. I said, what do I got to do to have God bragging on me? And I understand, to be spiritually minded. How is this church going to grow bigger and stronger? For us to be one, spiritually minded. Not on what we like and what we think and what we want, but what God wants for us. All the benefits that God wants in your life, your family's life. Sometimes it's hard. Can I get an amen? Sometimes it's really hard to get family and friends to understand. You think it's never going to happen, you see. But God's up there smiling, saying, you can say never all you want, but with God, nothing's impossible. But you got to be in faith. You got to stand in faith. That we would all become spiritually minded. Everybody hears about God's timing. Has anybody ever heard that before, God's timing? Well, it's true. Because you asked God to be the architect of your prayer. You've asked God to create your prayer. You've had this prayer that you've asked for, and God took it, and he's going to create it. You don't want to get in the middle of that and mess it all up and say, no, I want this and that. God is creating that. So it takes faith. And how many, I keep saying this, I'm going to go back to this again. I want God to reward me. And I know there's going to be people that disagree with that. I don't want people's praise. I want God's praise. I want him bragging on me. I want him bragging on you. I want him bragging on this church. Am I being exactly how I feel about it? I want God in heaven to be bragging on this church. And I want you to understand this. It's nothing to do with me. It's all of you. I want God to be bragging on all of you because you're the church. Amen? Whatever you have, whatever they're preaching on Sunday, you're the reason why they're preaching it. It's about God and you. You are the church. You got to be spiritually minded and strong. How many know things are going to come against us all the time? And let me tell you about church. It's really strange. But it doesn't take much of a little spark to get people pulling away from church. One little disagreement, and the first thing they pull away from is God. Instead of drawing closer to God and fixing the problem, they run off. Well, I can sleep in on Sundays now. See, God's timing, God's reward, and I tell you this every week, God sees what you do. He sees it. He hears what you say. Don't say, oh God, I hope he didn't hear. He hears you. He knows you. But he's searching for you. He's searching for answers for you that'll bless your life so much more than you could even imagine. Waiting for God's blessing. It's not wrong, and it's not, you know, but love and compassion want for good things to happen. Amen? We all want that. However, this is a new journey every day. Understand why I came down, because I wanted to be closer to you. I wanted you to understand. I wanted to be with you because I miss you guys. I can't be there Sundays. We're working on that. But you see, it's a new journey that we're on. All of us. Every week, we're on a journey. We leave here Sunday and we got all week to do different things. And are we doing them for God? Are we doing them for the blessings to be received? You got to stand in the Spirit. Sometimes you got to stand in faith. Sometimes it's not easy. That new journey, the joy of waiting on God. The joy of waiting, right, brother? Waiting on God's not always a joy, because you feel pressed down, you feel stressed. It's never going to happen. And then when it happens, you say, I can't believe I worried about a minute of it. Amen? We have blessings in this church, Miss Mary. I looked right at you. Years we waited. Waited for you. Years. And now it's, how long ago has it been? It seemed like 5 years ago now that you received that blessing. And a healing in your body and life in your body where you can just enjoy life. See? And that's why I just, there's other people who I wish were here today. And that's how it works. I told Dave, and Dave and I said the same thing. It just, sometimes you got a message that you want somebody to hear and they're not here. Right, Brother Dave? The joy of waiting on God, you see? I want to wait. I don't want rewards from men. I don't want rewards. I want rewards when God opens the door. I want to do for this church in my heart and let God bless us all. Because when one of us becomes blessed, all of us are blessed. If we're on the right step, if I'm preaching you the right things in the Word of God, and we're all in the Spirit, and God sees that Spirit, and He starts to reward this church, we're all going to receive the rewards. We're all going to receive the blessings. And I think that's what God has for us. This church, this ministry, you, His Word, teaching and reading His Word. Every week I tell you, get in that book. There's only one book that really matters. It's what? The Bible. All other religions have their own book. I don't know why. I can't give you the reason why. You go to different denominations and you pick up and there's a book about their denomination. I say, well, isn't this wonderful? It makes for nice reading, but let me get back to God's Word, because I want to do it God's way, not some way somebody else said we should do it. And that blessing start to flow when you really get in that Word. I believe it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes I believe that we receive from our actions. You know, you do good and you ask for stuff and you start wanting stuff and you know, you go to your boss and want a raise, or you do this, you want favor, and you kind of make noise, and then the guy finally says, okay, they give it to you. But sometimes I wonder, did we get in God's way? Sometimes I wonder, you know, like that story we used to say. Remember that story about the parking place? Out, the guy driving around, he needs a parking place. He starts praying to God, and all of a sudden somebody gets in their car and leaves. And he says, never mind, God, I got one. You see, that's what you got to have. If we can see God and be in the Spirit and not in the flesh and not ask for fleshly things, but stand in faith. And it's not easy. I'm going to get a little deeper in that in a minute. It's not easy to stand in faith, but that's how I've lived my life. That's how I've lived my life. All I can, because I've been in situations and predicaments, and I know God was the only one that can get me out of it. And I've learned to say, you know, God, this too shall pass because you're with me. And that takes all this other stuff away. See, all my other demands and all my other needs, I got to throw throw them aside because I want God to lead me down this path. And I want God to lead Second Congregational to a greater place than it ever thought to be because we're in the Spirit. We're spiritually minded, not naturally minded. The things of this church should be about God and Jesus. When you go home, you should have that inside of you. It starts to grow with you. How you speak to one another, how you love one another, how you treat other people. It's all faith in God. Can I have an amen? This is part of my journey. This is my journey. I spent 25 years of my life singing in nightclubs all across the United States. I was blessed. I play my guitar. I was blessed. Greg plays his guitar. We're blessed. I always found work. I was blessed. But I was on stage in front of hundreds, sometimes thousands of people. I learned how to take this and talk to people. And I had no idea when I was 25 that God was teaching me. He was showing me a way. He was leading me to be able to do what I'm doing today, talking to you, telling you the truth in God, not being afraid to tell you my faith and my story because God has got my back. It's like He has your back. Hallelujah. This is part of my journey. You, every one of you this morning, Chuck, you're part of my journey. Dale, you're part of my journey. This is part of, but this is your journey with me now too. Somebody said to me recently that they thought this church, they said, well, if you weren't here, we don't know what happened to this church. I said, no, it's God. I thank you for that. I thank you for that beautiful thought. But you see, we're all, without any of us, this church wouldn't be here. See, you're the church. You're the Spirit. So your Spirit has to be alive for this church to be alive. It's not me. It's all of us. It's you too. When you walk in, when you walk into life with God. Hallelujah. Blessings. My heart and my spirit waits for God. Blessings fall on those who wait. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. People are going to disagree with me. I know people are going to disagree with me. You fight for what you want. Sometimes you have to stand up for yourself, and I get that sometimes. But I like God standing up for me because I can mess it up. I can say selfish things. I can do things. We all do that. But I want God standing up, and I want Him standing up for you. That's why I come every Sunday, because I want this church to start shining. And it has. You look around this church, and we have some folks that aren't here today. And you just imagine if those other six people were here today, how beautiful, how much more. And we get six more and two more and four more. All of a sudden, you have a church on fire as long as we're looking up to God for the answers. I believe that. Money can never keep a church alive. Let me say that again. Money can't keep. You can have all the money you want. If the Spirit is dead, the church is what? Dead. If there's nobody preaching the Word of God, then the church is dead. If nobody's telling you the truth, the church is dead. So you can have all the money you want. The church can get all this money coming in, but it doesn't make the church alive spiritually. You see, it needs every one of you. Every one of you that come to this church and our friends this morning. I don't know why God sent you here this morning, but I'm glad He did. I'm glad He did send you here to us today because you blessed us. You blessed us by your presence. See, you might not have thought of that when you came to church this morning. You might have gone to other churches and there was, you know, a couple hundred people and they didn't even notice you walking in. But the three of you walked into this church and you blessed each and every one of us. I saw David surprised when he had to open the door. You see, that's what you did by coming here today. You blessed us. We want to bless you before you leave. Hallelujah. With the word, with truth. Money can never keep a church alive. You know who's keeping the church alive, Chuck? You are. And God sees that. John, God sees that. Emery, God sees what you're doing. Walter and Jean, I love you guys. Mary and Joseph, everybody, I love you guys. And you're keeping this church alive. Have I prayed about more people in this church, Deacon Jim? Every single day. Deacon Sergio, every day I pray. Why isn't God sending more people in? God said to me, what's wrong with the people I sent you? Don't you like them? Are they not worthy to be preaching the Word of God? And I said, humble. Right back to being humble on my knees again, Lord. We've had a church here for 8 years now. Kept it alive. When the city of Derby once said, oh, that church is still open. This church is alive. People know you're here. But I want people to see it. I want people to feel it. Because we got to, that's the Spirit. You are keeping this church alive, Marilyn. You do work for this church. You do it for God. You see, your part of the calling is to make sure we get the every year the bulletins every week, and you make sure and you work at that, and you try hard, and it's really great. And that young lady up there is playing the music for us every Sunday. She's part of the church. She's the music maker up there playing those beautiful songs. We all have a part. You say, well, what can I do? Well, there's a ministry called Helps. If you really want to help, you can. We'll open a door for you to help. We want to do different things that we used to do. We used to have dinners downstairs. Anybody remember we had dinner? After church every Sunday, we had dinner downstairs. Everybody sat around like last week. David, that food, by the way, was magnificent. That was great. And one woman, one beautiful woman who's sitting with Jesus now, passed away. It was Dave's wife. She wasn't even a member of the church, but she loved her husband. She loved him so much that she would come here and set up the tables and make sure we had salt and sugar and milk and cookies and all that. Make sure that was all there so when we went downstairs, we had that. We can't find people to do that. We're not asking. Somebody will have a heart someday and say, I want to do, I want to serve, I want to help. And that's what we're praying for, God to send these people so that we can be a family in Christ even bigger than today. I believe that. So let me read this again, Romans 8:8. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. That gets me right here. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Thank you, Lord. There's even one more. Hebrews 11:6. Let me read this to you. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's his word. Hebrews 11:6 in the book of Hebrews. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You want to be rewarded by God in ways greater than you ever thought? Seek him. Praise him. Have faith in him. Abraham. Anybody remember Abraham? Come on. He did it God's way. Noah did it God's way. Solomon did it God's way. Job did it God's way. And you read about them and see the great things they did. Were they perfect? Anybody? David did it God's way. Were they perfect? No. Did they make mistakes? Huge mistakes. Did Solomon make mistakes? Absolutely. David make? Absolutely. Noah? Anybody know that Noah had a drinking problem? A little drinking problem? After the ark landed, you can hear that he was drunk with wine when his children saw him. But he believed God and he stood on faith. It took Noah 150 years to build the ark. Anybody here 100 years old yet? 150? Anybody? Come on, nobody? Sometimes we won't wait 150 days for God to answer our prayer. Sometimes we won't wait 150 minutes for God to answer our prayer. Amen? He waited 150 years and God saved him and his family. I think that was a pretty big blessing, don't you? Abraham with Sarah, Solomon, and Job. We just talked about Job. His faith, even when his wife, sorry honey, told him to give it up. Give it up, Job, and just curse God. His own wife told him that. And he said, what are you, a crazy woman? You're talking like crazy people now. And he got on his knees and worshiped God because he was spiritually minded, not worldly minded. I come to you this morning on Christmas as we celebrate the birth of Jesus to give you a Christmas present and to tell you about the Christmas present you gave me all year long by being here, by helping me, by raising everything together, by organizing dinners after church. Maryland organizes dinners. We all go to 34 and they love us. So they love to see us. I know why, but they're still nice. So we have this unity and we have this spirit that I believe is keeping this church alive, and it's going to keep it alive as long as we keep focused on him and your lives and the things you want. Get spiritually minded. Don't get ahead of God, because God's got great rewards for those who seek him. I love that. To please him, it is without faith, and that's waiting. Faith is waiting. Sometimes, Brother John, it just seems like it ain't going to happen. It's impossible. And you want to let go, and you want, but where are you going to go? What are you going to do after you've given up your faith? Where does that leave you? Nowhere. It leaves you in the same place, only worse, because now you have no hope. And these people who are giving up their lives and giving up this stuff because they have no hope. But we have hope in the baby that is born in Bethlehem. His name is Jesus. We celebrate Christmas. We celebrate the birth of Jesus. But we celebrate that he is alive and sitting at the right hand of his Father. And he calls us family. He calls us family this morning. So at Christmas time, invite him into your family. Invite him to your children. Just tell the kids about Jesus, because all that we have, we got it from Jesus. Wherever you're sitting, whatever you're eating, whatever they're sharing, just simply say, we have this because of Jesus, because he first blessed us to have all these things that we have. I say that anything that God has done for you in your life, give him thanks for it. Give him, but remember to be spiritually minded. It's when God answers. And he answers all the time. Can I have an amen? When he answers, when the blessings fall on one, they fall on all of us. You bless me with a beautiful year. Bless my wife with a beautiful year by being with us. The best, greatest gift you could ever give to a pastor is coming to church every Sunday to hear him up there talking on and on about something. And you've given that to me. I pray that I've given you a spirit of hope and joy and peace that maybe you didn't have before. And maybe to some people I've given you an understanding about who God is and your relationship. And maybe you didn't have that before. I pray that I've given you joy that you didn't have before because you didn't know God is there with you. And see, we share gifts. We share Christmas gifts together. Christmas, we're Christians. We share Jesus together. So I ask you to share that. And again, the spiritual and the natural. In order to Second Congregational to become greater, we need to stay in the spiritual. So my prayer for next year is that we get and stay focused on that and hold tight to our faith and what we believe, and not let the natural, not let the world, not let disagreements, not let anything come between any of us, so we can become stronger in the Word and we can become stronger in the family, because that's a Christmas gift from the Lord above. Give him praise, church. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Now the Last Supper. The Bible calls it the Last Supper. We call it remembering Jesus. His words are simply, do this in remembrance of me. It takes a little faith to do it. Just a little faith. To do what we're going to do in remembrance of what he did for us. As we remember what he took for us and the beating he took for us and what they did to him, that he stood in the gap for us and took our pain and took our sins upon him once for all. In this church, we simply do this in remembrance of what he did. In Jesus' name I pray. Thank you, deacons. He lifted up the bread, blessed the bread, and said, this is my body being torn for you. Eat and do this in remembrance of me. Receive him this morning. King of kings, Lord of lords. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day. Thank you, Lord, for the celebration of Second Congregational. I lift this church up to you, Lord. I lift every heart in this church this morning up to you. Every heart of those who aren't here today, Lord, I lift them up to you. Touch them, Lord. Strengthen them, Lord. Make them whole, Lord. Give them peace, Lord. Give them joy. Even today, they may not know we're praying for them, but let them know, Lord, they're not forgotten, that we love them, Lord. To bless our land, to bless our home, to bless our church, this family, one family together. In this moment in time, we're all in one accord. You might have different thoughts and different feelings about life and what's happening in life, but right now, brothers and sisters, in this moment, we are in one accord. praising the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for my family, Father. Thank you for their love. Thank you for their words. Thank you for their comfort. Thank you for their faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for your love in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Wine, and he poured it in a cup, said, "This is my blood being shed for you for the remission of your sins." So let us be right to receive. Lord, forgive us for our iniquities this week, Lord. Forgive us for any actions, Lord, that were in the natural, that were in the flesh, Lord, that any time we got out of the spiritual, we took our eyes off of you even for a second, Lord. Forgive us so that we can receive this sacrament with peace and with joy. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Deacon. Thank you, Lord. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, and I will hear from heaven, I will heal their lands. I will bless their hands. I will heal and bless them with all good things in life. God's rewards are always good and full. Stand in faith with me as we believe for great and mighty things for this next year. But just pray for this church. Pray for one another. Pray that anything that ever comes between us, we have the strength to just take care of and wipe away in a second. That nothing formed against us shall prosper as long as we are in the spirit and not in the natural, not in the flesh. There's nothing in that flesh that can please God. But in the spirit, in a spirit-filled church, there is joy, there is peace, there is strength, there is power, there is God rewarding his people according to his word, his word. No pastor, no priest, no bishop, no pope can give us what God gives to us. No man can offer more than what God offers for us. In that word, in that beautiful book, are promises after promises. To receive them, you must be spiritually minded. I pray this morning that you receive the Spirit of God in a way you never thought you had before. If you believe this morning, I pray that something inside of you will grow even faster than you thought possible. I believe that God can do wonderful things in us when we call on him and we just trust in faith. I believe in Jesus' name. Second Congregational, this is our home. This is the building God has blessed us with. This is where we come each Sunday and in Bible studies and come and read his word and share as a family. This church is a gift from God. You are all gifts to each other. Let's be strong and let's thank God for everything that we have, but let's for Christmas. Let's just look at each other and say, I'm going to work better and harder spiritually to do more for each other, to lift each other, to think of others, and hold tight to that Jesus that we love so well. And watch the blessings fall on Second Congregational, because we are calling on Jesus. Give him praise, church.